fintech community, all about companies coming together to address stigmatized topics and so on, and bring solutions that really helps address all the needs for all women, and finally improve women's care, because women deserve better than that.
Welcome to FemTech Focus with Dr. Brittany Barreto, exploring the past, present, and future of women's health and wellness. Welcome to the FemTech Focus podcast, brought to you by Fem Health Insights, the leaders in women's health, market research, and consulting. In this show, we have meaningful and provocative conversations with Fem Health experts. These academics, doctors, and innovators tell us about the past, present, and future of women's health and wellness. I'm your host, Dr. Brittany Barreto, and in today's episode, I interview Ikram Guard, VP of Global Marketing, Managing Director of the U.S. for Aspivix. Born in France, Ikram's 18-plus year career in marketing healthcare led her to the U.S. 7 years ago. Passionate about young girls and women's empowerment in healthcare and in their careers, Ikram dedicated her work through nonprofit organizations and personally to support and advance women's health practices, particularly in gynecology. Aspivix is a medical device company in women's health based in Switzerland, developing next-generation devices for gynecology. Their flagship product, the CareVix, is the world's first suction-based cervical stabilizer, clinically proven to reduce pain and bleeding associated with transcervical procedures commonly performed in gynecology. For example, IUD insertion, hysteroscopies, cervical biopsies, and fertility treatments, anywhere where the doctor needs to pass the cervix and enter the uterus. CareVix is a medical device that has received FDA clearance for the U.S. market, as well as CE mark for European countries. In this interview, we discuss the current standard of care for gynecology, the history of the tenaculum and pain in women's healthcare, and the time that Aspivix and I went viral on TikTok. And this is a great opportunity to learn more about how innovating on century-old medical devices can change the way women experience healthcare. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Ikram, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brittany. Thank you for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you. Where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling from the sunny California, close to Los Angeles. And it's pretty nice out there.
Excellent. I love it. I love it. Well, last time we saw each other in person, we recorded a video that went viral on TikTok. It has over 3.3 million views, thousands of comments, thousands of likes. Thank you for introducing me to virality on TikTok.
And thank you for having me, because it was so much fun. And I remember when we met, so it was in Boston. And you were the very first person when I joined the women's health industry. So you were the very first person I started following. And when I met you, I just felt like I was meeting a star, someone I was like really excited to. And I think it was breakfast time. And I was like, oh, hi, Brittany. Do you mind if I take 5 minutes of your time? Like, you were super nice. Like, yeah, sure. And then that whole discussion led to me showing you the product. And like within 5 minutes, you got it. And then we did that video and it went just crazy. So it was a fun experience. And thank you for being open to try it.
Yeah, of course. That's my favorite part of the job, is meeting founders and seeing their innovative devices, especially when I get to play with them. And to this day, every day, I still get people saving that video, liking it, following it. This video, you can see it at Dr. Brittany Barreto, so Dr. Brittany Barreto on TikTok, and it's pinned to the top, and it's me demonstrating the Aspivix medical device on a kind of a fake cervix and showing how it works. So it is just really, really fun video. So I already feel like we've told the world about you, but we need to tell the full story. So here we are. We love to kick every episode off learning more a little bit about our guest, because we have a lot of, you know, students and aspiring FemTech employees and founders. So everyone's story to getting into women's health is different. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up working in women's health?
Okay, sounds good. So I'm Ikram. I was born and raised in France. I moved to the U.S. Now almost 8 years ago. And I've always been interested in healthcare. Like initially, I wanted to be a pediatrician, but then I wasn't able to go to med school. And the good thing about me, probably in some cases, is that I'm very stubborn. So even if I wasn't able to go to med school, I find another way to be in healthcare, and that was through marketing. So I've been in the healthcare industry for now almost 20 years and in different space, pharma, home care, medical device, clinical diagnostic, and now in women's health. I feel at some point in my life, things started making sense. When like being a woman, a mom, having to deal with so many things that you have to deal with as a woman. And that's also the thing I like about being in healthcare. It's like, how do you, even if I'm on the marketing side, how can I make an impact for, at the end of the day, the patient? And that's really what drove me to join Aspivix. I have this amazing opportunity to join this team. The team is just the best. So working with our founders, co-founders, all men, like very driven in terms of mission, like men allies. I'm really excited to work with them. And the rest of the team is really gender balanced. And they fit all the boxes in my like perfect company to work for. And the product that they have developed is just amazing. And that solves so many issues for women. It's like why women have to suffer. I think we have, as a woman, already so many cases where we just have to suffer. Why are we adding more pain to it? So, yeah. And I really like that, the fact that there was zero innovation in that space. And now we are coming finally with something that helped millions of women.
Oh, I love it. And I will definitely have some more specific questions, but why don't you tell our listeners, what is Aspivix?
Sure. So Aspivix is a startup, a Swiss startup based in Lausanne. So the backstory is that we have three co-founders, David, Julien, and Mathieu. David is the OBGYN. So he has his own practice in Geneva. His dad, he's an OBGYN as well. So they have been living in that space for a long time. So they know what they're talking about. And even if you're trying to be gentle, every time you insert an IUD, it's still painful because of an instrument that is called the tenaculum. And it's very sharp. And that's what is used daily on women to be being able to grasp the cervix and stabilize it. So that procedure is how it's done everywhere in the world. And that's what's caused most of the pain. So he started working with his brother. He's an engineer, Julien, and they developed something suction-based. Like when you think about it, it's like, yeah, that's brilliant. Why didn't someone thought about that first in the first place? And that's what Aspivix has developed, like taking a look at the gynecology procedures, see where we didn't have an innovation and where we can have an impact in terms modernizing the instruments that are used. So they came up with this product, which is really cool, called Carevix, because we care about the cervix. So that's the combo.
Carevix. I didn't realize Carevix. Caring about the cervix. Carevix. I love that.
Carevix. Exactly. And the goal is really to be able to stabilize the cervix in a gentle way. So instead of pinching, then we have something that we place on the cervix and it will suck a little bit the tissue of the cervix. And that way you can still do the same procedure without causing pain and bleeding.
Amazing. Absolutely incredible. I'd love to dive more into just talking about IUDs and the insertion process. So first for our listeners, can you tell us what is an IUD? What's the point of it and how many women use it?
Yeah, so IUD is the most efficient contraceptive solution and also the most cost-effective, like 99% in terms of efficiency in terms of contraceptive solution. There's so many different options out there in the market, and there's two different types of IUD. I'm not necessarily going to go through the details, but the IUD is basically one of the best options for women to be able to have something in the long run and being able to be protected. But then the issue is that now we are seeing like for years and years more women complaining about pain when they're getting the IUD. So basically you go for the IUD, you want to be like, you want to have a peace of mind. Like I have my IUD, I don't have to take the pill every day. So that's the best option for me. But then the insertion is really painful. So is it worth it? At the end of the day, yes, the IUD is the best option. But then the pain that is caused during the procedure is definitely something that is totally unnecessary. You go to the office, it's a 15-minute procedure, and you should be able to go out and go back to the office or go back to your life. But then in a lot of cases, women are just getting there, it pinch, it's so painful that it starts generating bleeding. Some women are fainting once or twice. How is that even possible? And then sent back home. And then they're just suffering at home one day, 2 days, when they're not able to go to work or to their life. So yeah. That's what we are really tackling. That pain is just not a pain at the moment, but it can last for a couple of days later.
And, you know, I think that's why our video went viral on TikTok, was because so many women have had that pain, right? And it's been so excruciating because, as you said, there's a lot of parts of women's health that are just naturally painful, or menstrual cramps, or menopausal hot flashes, like childbirth, right? Like being a woman does have some inherent pain built into it. And so where can we stop inflicting pain on women? And so IUD, for those who don't know, stand for intrauterine device. And it's like this little T-shaped device that either has hormones on it or a copper coil that sits inside the uterus, and it's inserted by needing to bypass the cervix. And I mean, some people may just assume they know what the female reproductive organs are all about. I didn't even really understand the cervix until I started working in femtech. And so the quick and short, my understanding is that you have the vagina, which is the canal that goes up, and the cervix, in my mind, I always think about it as like the tie of the end of a balloon. It's, you know, it's essentially holding the bottom of the uterus, and it opens enough to let sperm in and let blood or menstrual effluent out, but it's still pretty tight. It's very tight. And that cervix is what you guys are trying to get, or, you know, gynecologists are trying to get past to insert the IUD into the uterus. And so you're saying that gynecologists need to stabilize the cervix. Why do they need to stabilize the cervix before? Why can't they just slide an IUD in?
No, they need to stabilize it that way they can really open the cervix, and that way they can insert the IUD or any other instrument depending on the procedure. Because we are talking a lot about IUD, but the tenecteum is used currently for other procedures. Like when you think about hysteroscopy or biopsies, in a lot of cases, the tenecteum is also used. So, and for all those procedures, you need to grasp the cervix and stabilize it. So that way it's open a little bit, and then it makes the insertion of the instrument easier.
Easier and probably safer, right? So you're not puncturing the uterine wall or anything. And exactly. Tell us more about this tenecteum. What is a tenecteum?
So the tenecteum, that's a great question. And that was my aha moment when I joined Aspivix. It's like, seriously? So the tenecteum is awful. It's a traumatic instrument that looks like a scissor with like very sharp with two teeth. And that instrument was invented more than a century ago. And the goal of the tenecteum was to extract bullets. Like the word tenecteum comes from German word, and I'm not a German speaking person, but basically it extracts bullets from soldiers. And when you think about that, I don't know who thought it would be a great idea to use it on women and on women's cervixes, which is one of the most sensitive parts of our body. And that, for me, was just mind-blowing. And like, how is it even possible? And now it's just considered that's the standard of care. And like, how is that so? It's causing so much pain. And I don't see any other procedures where we are using the tenecteum on men. So that's why we are like really focusing on replacing that awful traumatic instrument. And I have it, by the way. So basically,
oh my gosh, that is so scary. Oh, that is so scary. Oh my gosh. Oh
yeah. And even like, you don't want to pinch your fingers. So I'm just imagining with your cervix.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You look like Edward Scissorhand holding that up.
I know.
That's scary. You know, and I actually was recently writing about the history of gynecology, and they actually said one of the major turning points of women's health being led by women and midwives in particular to a more institutionalized medical profession run by men was the introduction of the tenecteum, because it was considered a medical device of which women were, you know, assumed incompetent of using. And so that device is actually also one of the major catalysts to institutionalize and male domination of women's healthcare. So tenecteum's got to go. It has got to go. And so that thing, it looked like it had this pinching to it. And so it is actually, and based on the comments in our TikTok, some women said it's not just even a pinch, it's actually a puncture. Is that true? It's actually puncturing the cervix?
It can. Yeah, it really depends on the healthcare provider. So the more you pinch, the worse the puncture will be. And that was like when you take a look at it, and even when you try it on yourself, it's like, okay, I get it. So that's why it also generates bleeding and like worse pain.
Yeah. And are women warned about this? Tell us some stories about like, what's a woman's experience when she's getting an IUD? Like, are they being told about this, or is pain medication being used?
Oh, that's a very good question. I wish pain medication was used more often, because women should be able to ask for it. And in a lot of cases, it's not even offered. So that's the bare minimum. Just pain management should be like the bare minimum. They basically ask you to take an Advil or something at the very beginning, but that's pretty much it. And I know pain is very different from one woman to another. So you probably will feel less pain than I do, or the other way around. But still, it's painful. So when a woman gets an IUD, and basically they will explain the process. So they will start with the speculum to open the vagina, and then they will insert, measure the uterus, and then they will insert IUD. They won't mention the tenaculum per se. They will just say, okay, we will have to, you will feel a pinch. And then after that, we'll insert the IUD. But that's pretty much it. They won't be showing you the device. When for the speculum, pretty much all women have seen it, so they know how it looks like. But for the tenaculum, it's hidden. So they don't show it, because otherwise it will just also increase anxiety. Like when you'll see the instruments, like, are you really going to use that on me? And it's not really a great experience. So that's also why the Carevix helps in the discussion. So now you will be able to show it, because I love what you said in one of your podcasts. It has this little happy face or happy smile.
Yeah, it does. Happy. It has a little smile. Yeah.
Exactly. And so that can be part of the discussion. The device is really reassuring and can be part of the discussion. So that increases also the relationship between the healthcare provider and the patient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why don't you remind our listeners, you said it's a suction. So where did this idea come from, and how effective is it in using suction versus a pinch to stabilize the cervix?
Yes. So the suction is, when you take a look at the obstetric field, you have, when they deliver babies, they use the forceps, and we can pretty much compare the forceps to the tenaculum. So the forceps is metal. It's very active. When you take a look at it and like just imagine that they are pulling the baby out using that instrument, it's kind of scary. And now they have also the kiwi. Kiwi is also based on suction, so which is more gentle. So that's also the idea, like, okay, there's this application that is already used. There's already evidence. So that came from all those discussion. And suction, you can pretty much, like, the whole idea is really to be gentle. So you can use this device having the same efficiency and efficacy, and without hurting and without bleeding. Like, you're not puncturing, so there's no bleeding, and the pain is really reduced. So we had a study that has been published in the International Journal Contraception last year. So we did a randomized controlled trial with 100 patients in Switzerland. And basically we were comparing the tenaculum and the Carevix. And it shows a significant reduction in terms of pain by 73%, bleeding by 78%. So, and that time we were working with our prototype. So now we have a finalized product. We also took into account all the feedback from the users. And we have a product now that has been FDA cleared, CE marked as of last year. And we just got the approval for the UK market. So that's upcoming. I'll communicate on that. But that's also great news.
Congratulations. And so we are not just speaking to a startup here today with an idea or an MVP. You are ready to go to market. Are doctors using it yet? How are you, going to market?
Yes, that's a good question. So right now we have, and that came right around the TikTok video, kind of a great timing. So right now we have an ambassador program that is running. So we have 12 sites across the US. So we have 2 in the US and 10 in different countries in Europe. And they're basically using it in routine. So that helps us getting also more data in terms of patient experience, healthcare professional experience, in terms of pain, how is the device easy to use. And now women can go to those sites. They can really benefit from that experience. So that's where we are. We just started the commercialization in Switzerland in January. So we got our first order. And it's an exciting time. Just to kind of close the loop on the TikTok video, I had a great surprise around Christmas time. So I had one young woman who reached out to me, and she was basically one of the very first patients in the US. And she found us. She had a very tough experience in 2017 with IUD, worst pain ever. I was like, it's 2023, I need to renew it. I'm not going to go through the same pain. And there must be something out there. So she did some research. She found us on Google. She saw a TikTok video. She reached out to us and like, how do you have any sites where I can go and have the Carevix used? Because I need to renew my IUD. So we sent her the two towards the two sites. So we have Columbia University and Indianapolis, IU Health. And 2 months later, around this Christmas, she reached out to me and she just wanted to say thank you for turning what is the voice of women into a product that is working. And the discussion we had was so powerful and very emotional because she was so sweet and she really had a great experience. And that if she wasn't able to get something that was painless, she will have switched to something else. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely, IUD was great for her, but when she had to renew and having to feel the pain again, it's like, no, I'm not going to do it. But then she saw the product and it's like, okay, I'll give it one last try. And the team at Columbia has been amazing. The experience just overall and the design. She's also very sensitive to the design of the product. And that was part of the discussion. Oh. And she definitely made my day, my year.
That is beautiful. That's what we do this for, right? Like at the end of the day, that's what we're doing this for. Changing women's lives and improving their healthcare. Because our healthcare shouldn't be torture. It should be healthcare. If a woman is listening to this and she's thinking about renewing her IUD or getting her first one, what is the best way? Like, is it that they reach out to a Spivix to find out where you're available? Or is there even an opportunity for them to talk to their clinics and say, I want you to use this device? How can a listener of the show get access to it?
Yeah. So they can go to our website. We have a new page that we have created after that where they can access a map of sites where they can find professionals who are currently using it. And they can also send a form where they can just say, okay, I'm like, if you can send me the patient brochure, they can also download it. So they can bring that to their OBGYN, have a discussion. And if they would like us to also have a discussion with the healthcare professionals, more than happy to help them. So they can go on the website and also reach out to me and happy to follow up.
We'll make sure that website is linked in our show notes. So if you're listening right now, look at the show notes and click that. How has the reception been with physicians? Are they like, oh my gosh, thank God, and they throw their tenaculum in the trash and they never look back? Or are you finding it actually a little challenging to get them to adopt a new medical device?
Great question. It's like any new technology, it always takes time. You always have those early adopters very open to innovation. And the more we talk about it, the more requests I'm getting in different countries, which is great. So overall, like the idea, the concept is very attractive to them. So I have a lot of requests of different sites who would like to use it. So which is a good sign and very encouraging. So overall, the feedback is great, but then it takes time to convince others who have been using the tenaculum for their entire life. So it's not about changing 100% of OBGYN practices. We'll go step by step. So we have great champions within the ambassador program, but not only. And those are also early adopters spreading the word out there and also working on new clinical studies and new evidence. So we are really focused on data and making sure that we can also have more studies out there. And as I mentioned, so we had the study on IUD. Now we are working on a new study in the US with IUD and other procedures. So this is ongoing. And we will focus also on other procedures like IVF treatments and hysteroscopy and so on. So
yeah, there's other reasons for doctors to have to enter the uterus besides IUD, right? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And we need to change the standard of care, like, and replace that awful tenecanum by something gentle.
Yes. Is there a certain trend you're seeing in the early adopters? And I'm thinking for our listeners who may be trying to create a medical device that they're going to want to sell to gynecologists. I have some assumptions. I'm thinking maybe younger doctors at a medical school, they may be more interested in trying something new versus someone who's, you know, been in the game 50 years, you know. Have you been seeing this type of trend? And do you have any advice for maybe early stage medical device founders in terms of go-to-market strategy?
I have seen that. You're right. So younger generation of doctors more willing to use new technology and innovation. But I have seen some cases with professor very open also to the idea. So I don't want to like categorize and have like this cliche. It's really open. I think you need to target people who are really into publication, changing the standard of care. And could be different generation. I think you need also to have different generation of providers.
Yeah.
Then they can also, yeah.
Yeah. Any differences in gender of the doctor and any trends there?
I have a little bit more women willing to use it. So
interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've experienced so far. But I also have men, like when you think about our founders, co-founders, and all the first orders we started getting in Switzerland. Almost half women and men. So
yeah,
we're really depending on countries.
Well, I know that you are in marketing and not necessarily the founder, so I don't know if you can speak to this, but would love to see if you had any opinions or feedback about your experience fundraising for this product in terms of convincing people that it was something that was needed. Because oftentimes you were probably pitching in rooms of which no one in the room had an IUD or ever had one inserted. And so they may not even believed how bad it could be. Do you have any, you know, anecdotal stories about that experience?
So outside of marketing, I'm also managing the operation here in the US. So I've also started doing a pitch competition and fundraising. It has been an interesting experience so far. But I always had in the room at least one woman who had, oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. And that is generally the person where you can have a connection and she can maybe help you like explain her experience.
Yeah.
What I'm using in my deck is the TikTok video and also some of the testimonial, because that makes it more concrete and more real. And that really helps with the discussion. And at the end of the day, when you think about investors, even if they're mostly men, they're more and more women. So this is great. I think we need more women in that space. But I will say at least everybody knows someone around you who had some kind of experience with IUD that wasn't that great. Mm-hmm. Wife, daughter, sister. So, and that leads to one of the call to action is really have a discussion with a woman around you. If you don't know about IUDs, get that discussion. And it's all about education. So I like the fact that we are raising awareness and talking more about those topics, and they should not be taboo.
No. Yeah. Especially definitely not. Is there other areas in gynecological care that you think really need innovating?
There's a lot of all of them. Yes. all of them. But if I prioritize, endometriosis is right now like kind of a hot topic, menopause and so on. I think it's pain management across the board. Mm-hmm. Like you feel pain and it's so dismissed and you're not taking it seriously. That's heartbreaking. So there's pain across the board. And what does it mean? And how do we help women get a better experience? Another one that I'm thinking about is mammography. Oh my God, this is so awful. I don't understand why we don't have a technology that is really helping with mammography, which is way more gentle without having to like every time feel like that pressure, and it's just awful. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, since you think about this all the day, I'd love to just kind of tap into your brain about why do you think the gynecological, industry has accepted such high levels of pain and adopted procedures that inflict so much pain? Like, how is this even possible? And, a system that's supposed to make you feel happy, healthy, and well, how is it that it's infused with so much pain? Do you ever think about that, or like how this has happened or why we're still here?
Yes. Why? There's bias. So when a woman complains about pain, people will probably look at you as like, oh, you're too delicate, you're too sensitive. And I think women have a very good threshold and higher threshold than men. So basically, when a woman starts complaining about pain, it's really painful.
Yeah.
And there's a disconnect about the pain that is expressed by women and the pain that is perceived from the healthcare professional. So they probably think that it's not that painful when, like, over from 0 to 10, the healthcare professional will probably say, oh, you are like 3 points.
They'll round it down.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. When the women will probably feel a pain around 6. So they're not taking it seriously. And I think that's the main issue, the bias. And I think that things are changing because more women are complaining, advocating for themselves, educating themselves. And there's also a new generation of doctors who are probably also more open to that. And maybe it's like, okay, we should probably help and do something.
I love this. The new journey of femtech is no more torture. What a baseline of a movement. Stop torturing us.
Exactly. That should be the bare minimum.
Bare minimum. Well, what is your future vision for Aspivix?
Future vision. So we have a lot of projects ongoing. As I mentioned, we are expanding also the procedures. So seeing how the Keravix can be used and helping other application in IVF treatment, embryo transfer, and so on. And hysteroscopy, endometrial biopsies, and all that. So that is something where that would definitely keep us busy, and we hope that we can help women. Like, those procedures are already painful, like mentally and physically. So why do we add more pain to it? There's also new things coming up with drug delivery. Like when you think about IUB, and having drug delivery in the uterus with companies like Oka and everything that they're doing, I think that's an exciting opportunity in terms of market. Mm-hmm. Where we can think about, oh, let's make that procedure a quick one, efficient one, a painless one. Mm-hmm. So that will open also new market opportunities in the future. Expanding. So geographically now, I can't wait to really have our very first customers in the US, having more studies and also being able to be in other countries. So right now, US, Europe are top priority, but what about other countries? So we're also working on making it accessible in South Asia, Australia, and different parts of the world. So that's also something that...
So everywhere in the world, just to clarify, is using the tenaculum.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And by the way, this is something you told me at the conference that I just want to let our listeners know, that when I demoed your Keravix medical device, I said, hey, do you have a tenaculum for me to also demonstrate what that looks like? And you said, I couldn't bring it on the plane. It is banned by the TSA. I could not fly with it. It is considered a weapon. And I'm like, what? That is literally the case in point of this whole thing, that it's too dangerous for TSA to allow you to bring it onto a plane. And yet it is what we are clamping our internal organs with. So
every day.
That is what you're innovating on. That is what femtech is. Femtech so often is like innovating on the bare minimum of women's health because we deserve so much more. And thank goodness there are amazing gynecologists like the founders of Aspivix and yourself, and just so excited to get more solutions out there and more patient votes and advocacy for this stuff. My last question is, what do you think the femtech industry as a whole needs the most right now in order to be successful?
We need more fundings. We need more innovation. There's a lot of entrepreneurs out there with great ideas, but how do we make them happen? So we need fundings, we need research. So I'm excited to see also that yesterday with the news with Dr. Jill Biden, who announced the $100 million investment, which is a good start. So I hope that's just the very first steps, and the femtech will get more fundings and more research and more attention. So I love all the work that you're doing, Brittany, and all the rest of the community. I really feel like it's a community.
Yeah.
And we just need to continue raising our voices, talking about those topics, and get the attention that we deserve.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Brittany. It has been so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to my interview with Ikram Garg, VP of Global Marketing at Aspivix. To learn more about Aspivix, find a doctor near you that's using CareVix, print information about CareVix to convert your doctor, or to become an ambassador of the device, go to the links in the show notes or simply go to aspivix.com. Okay, Fem fans, it's time to get engaged. If you love the show, then you'll definitely enjoy reading our weekly newsletter. Subscribe at femhealthinsights.com. While there, you can also join our virtual community, which has over 1,000 femtech founders, investors, and advisors you can get insights and feedback from. We have an active events calendar, jobs board, and much more. Please give our social channels for Femtech Focus and Fem Health Insights a follow. The links are in the show notes. And don't forget, sharing is caring. Send this show to a friend or colleague and keep innovating, because improving women's health and wellness improves everyone's health and wellness.